You guys really like it? I was in that.
I think they're going to like it. Hello, 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 world. How is everyone doing today? We're going to take you down the rabbit hole, and we're still discussing over here business matters with Mr. Berrigan, who's getting ready to leave our studio to enjoy some relaxing time because he's had a rough, long day. He says, I need to just be with myself and my heart so that I could try to figure out this whole real estate world thing because he's had multiple offers, listings galore, and world is just something that we may never understand. How are you over there, Mr. Chuckles?
You know what? I'm good. Kind of tired from a brutal week of spanking, of testing. But you know what? Time was done, and I'm good. How are you, Mom?
I'm good. You know, like I told you all this week with your little testing, in the end, whatever you get in those damn tests is not going to dictate. Well, you said it does dictate because of getting into college and all that. But let's say that for some reason you totally flunked because you, I don't know, you were just not conscious enough to just do the little work that needs to be done to just try to parade and compare yourself to your schoolmates. Then really, what's the worst that could happen? I think that in any situation, when you're a child, you know, you think about the test, right? That's the worst type of stress that you could have. When you become an adult, you have other types of stress. And whenever you're faced with challenges, there's this one question that I always ask, and it's, what's the worst that could happen? I mean, for you, it could be really bad because if you get bad grades, your mom's going to kick your ass and your dad's going to ground you, you know?
Yep.
But really, what's the worst that can happen? You know, after that, you'll get over it and you'll learn a lesson and you move on, right?
True. These problems are so insignificant compared to the vast universe.
Compared to the vast universe and the reality of trying to grasp what this world really means, I think that as humanity has evolved, I think that the things that we currently focus on as so-called problems really have become so ridiculous and so mediocre because we like to live in our little shells and our little enclosures of world and reality.
Our comfort zones.
And then we forget that there's this incredible universe all the way around us and within us and outside of us, and that I'll take for granted sometimes the things like breath or a meteorite didn't hit the earth today, or, you know, the wars that may be happening in space. You know, the reason I'm bringing this up is because we saw that movie, Interstellar.
Fantastic.
Which totally messed with my freaking head.
It was insane, man. You know what? I was like, we can't really talk that much about it because I don't want to, like, ruin, I don't want to give any spoilers because everyone has to experience sleep for themselves.
And you have to watch it twice, which we did because
twice. I still don't completely understand.
This is the cool thing about it, that which might be cool but might not be cool, because they did use a lot of scientific terms. So a lot of it, my mind was like, okay, I can get this if you just slow down a little bit without jumping to the next idea, you know, so quickly. But more than that, there's a deep spiritual meaning. And I love the way they explain time and time as being an illusion and how love transcends everything. And that's where I was like so thrown away, because it was such a scientific movie that ended up just being just everything that I wanted to watch in my life. But it freaked me out.
Wait, you said how love transcends anything. Could we say that one quote that happened?
Yeah.
That was like my favorite part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
All right. So they're going through one part, like one little situation. I can't really say too much. And this girl ends up saying, love is the only thing we're capable of perceiving that transcends time and space. Like, that was just powerful.
Say it again.
Powerful.
Say it again.
Love is the one thing we are capable of perceiving that transcends time and space.
And the reason why this is so powerful is because it's a movie about scientists. It's about NASA astronauts, one who actually had some an accident and he was thrown from it, but yet it was his calling, so he always wanted to get back. So without thinking too much, you know, they're very, very science-focused. And so to hear a scientist say things like that, especially when you've gone and you've been courageous enough to take on the task of literally getting your ass into a freaking spaceship and being thrown into the abyss. And they're literally, it's about a movie about how they're raising colonies in other planets because the thing that worried me the most.
Not necessarily. I don't know.
Well, they're trying to make humanity evolve, and what they're saying is that at that point in the movie, what they're saying is that the world is coming to an end because Earth can no longer sustain humanity. And so the professor tells the guy, you need to, or the main character, Matthew McConaughey, and he was a great actor, and tells him, you know, you need to save humanity and you need to get the hell out of here, right? And so that we can take humanity with us. So this is what their mission is. They have to, because the Earth is no longer sustaining them, they have to find a way to take the Earth with them. I'm sorry, the humans with them, the human race with them out to other. So they need to find a place where they could actually live a lot longer than where the Earth is, because the Earth already has evolved to, it's just not sustainable anymore. But the twists and turns that this movie has, I mean, it hits on so many different dimensions, literally talks about the different dimensions that we don't even perceive because we're three-dimensional human beings. I mean, it's very, very deep and very, my God, every word that's being said is like means so much.
I think I had like a perfect balance between like science and also like just like, I guess you could say spirituality or just like love. I don't know. It's nice.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy? That a lot of people didn't like it because of that, because they couldn't understand it. But it's not a movie. I think if I would have gone to the theater, I would have been like, I need to watch it like 7 more times, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's what's crazy, that the whole week has been that as my theme. You know, I'm still practicing my Course in Miracles every single day on 196, less than 196, which is 196 days in. We have a lesson per every single day. But that's all that the Course in Miracles is talking about as well. It's talking about transcending time. Time is just an illusion. If you only knew that to give, you have desires and wants and needs, but if you would only trust in the divinity and in the grace, and I hate using words. You know, some people call it God, some people call it universe, some people call it, atheists call, I don't know what they call it. They call it love. That if they've ever been in love, that is God. You know, if they've ever loved someone else or a human being, that is, to me, is God. But we use these words as symbols, and then that messes up our brains, because then people associate the word that they hear with their past, so their conditioning. So when you hear God, some people think, I see a man, old man, sitting on a freaking chair or a throne somewhere.
Judgmental, like,
telling me what's right or wrong.
Yeah.
And that's not, I used to see God that way when I was growing up. So I could see how that's associated with me. Or even when
some people see God as this giant elephant, multiple gods, and just,
yes,
it's different.
It's the way you perceive it. So these symbols that we use, like when I say God or Holy Spirit, it doesn't really mean anything. It's the holiness. It's the beyond
what
you could describe. Yeah, the thing that, and a lot of people don't think that we're connected together, all of us, that it doesn't matter what you feel, and I feel that it has nothing to do with me. But more and more now, especially now, because we're going through such turbulent times of chaos. First of all, it probably has always been like this, but now that we have the internet and the news, it's magnified. I mean, you and I went to go pump some iron today at the gym.
Relax.
We were like, I was like, you need to go with me to the gym because you need to go to the gym. Actually, you invited yourself today.
I have like a decent mind and spirit connection, but I need to work on my.
That's when it started changing for me, because I had this, again, I love the angels and Dorian Virtue and all that, and I had this huge epiphany in this dream, and it was an angel that was telling me, you know, you're doing great with the mind spirit connection, but there's a trilogy, there's a part of you that's still kind of, it's lacking, and that was my temple, my body. I am not my body. I believe that truly. I am a soul that will forever live. However, I was given this body in this incarnation as Veronica. And so, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to mistreat it, you know. And also, I love to see stories of people, like older people, people who have weighed 500 pounds, and to see the transformations that they go through.
People facing adversity.
Yeah, and to me, well, with weight or their bodies, you know.
Yeah.
But to me, the way they've overcome that, and I feel like I have only scratched the surface of what my body can actually do. So before, I used to be something like, I just want to look good, I want to lose weight, I want to do all this. And ever since I started doing yoga, especially Bikram yoga, it changed. It was not because I wanted to lose weight and just tone up and look thin and fabulous, although that is a driving factor, let me tell you that. But it's beyond that. It's about fulfilling that trilogy, fulfilling the mind-body-spirit connection. Because
Shambhala talked about this, having the mind-body synchronized into one. Continue. Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead. No, you're right. No, but that's exactly it, you know, to be able to have that. Because when you're not in full balance, you could be the most spiritual person that just, you know, loves God, but then goes and just dives themselves into the most horrible lifestyle. Then what are you going to do? You know, your body's going to take the toll of it, because unfortunately, unless you can control your mind to tell it that that cheeseburger or that extra whatever you did or that cigarette, whatever it is that you're doing, unless you can control your mind to tell it and train it that it's not bad for you, then, you know, it's going to catch up to you. And unfortunately, society and the outside world tells us a lot of signals and messages where we get what our nutrition should be. That's why we eat what we eat. I just think in general, there's just a big awakening to just being more healthy. I see it a lot more. I love seeing it, especially in the Hispanic culture, where that's never been prevalent.
Every culture.
Yeah. Well, I feel like with the lack of, I think, resources, but not anymore. Like, I feel like now they're leading the way as well with nutrition. We love to eat, like, fried foods. And a lot of the cultures have, like, stereotypes, you know, that they love to eat fried foods or they love to eat all that. And we do, but and you can in moderation, I think, but you always have to learn to go get some exercise. And now, so it's turned to me, since I've lasted for a couple of weeks, going at least 4 to 5 times a week. Now when I don't go, I feel really guilty. But I think it's helping me go back.
Is this why you brought up? Why'd you bring up us going to the gym today?
Because we brought up going to the gym. So yeah, we have to go back. We get into other theories, anyways. But they have or into other subjects. I'm sorry. They have TVs at the gym, right? And all of them, there were 3 or 4 in front of us, and each one of them was showing something super negative. Like
funny.
It was insanity. They had like ABC and Fox and all these different ones.
Wasn't it just Fox News?
Was it just Fox?
I feel like I'm not sure. I might be wrong.
But in one of them, they were talking about a convicted murderer and then how he lashed out at people. And I just thought, okay, this guy's just killed someone. And now we're all, like, pointing and throwing rocks at him. And I just thought, wow, like, where is the healing really happening here? And then of course I'm not saying it's okay to kill someone at all, so please don't get that wrong. But I just thought, there's just got to be a different way, you know? It's not working. And on the other side, they were talking about how the U.S. now has reported that a lot of people are now becoming terrorists, even within here, and how some guy in Cincinnati or somewhere.
Americans, and it was what they were talking about in Ohio, were planning terrorist plots. And then there was also another one, how a radioactive can got stolen in Mexico. Just a bunch of only negative stuff. And I thought it was just a bunch of, like, angry, just, like, people just talking about it. This is interesting.
You know what sucks, though? That it sucks you in.
Yeah.
Because I was watching it, and I was like, holy shit. Like, what the hell is this, you know? Otherwise, I wouldn't have even known, because even now, I try to limit, because I'm practicing A Course in Miracles, and one of the biggest things is not to judge people for anything, you know, even if it's, if you perceive it as the worst thing. If some guy puts something up about, you know, I don't know, there was this somebody who actually put something out that said, there's a quote in the Bible that actually says, if you don't follow my God, you must kill that person that doesn't follow. Remember we talked about
this? Yeah.
Somebody posted that on Facebook. And this person that posted that, if
so
he's listening,
funny.
Sorry, I didn't agree.
Don't be sorry.
I didn't agree at all. No, but it was weird because I was like, what the hell? Like, I would never expect this person to actually post that because he seems like a normal person. But to me, somebody who posts that is fucking crazy, right? But maybe I don't know his side. And I didn't continue to read. And I was going to post something like, I don't think God would ever want you to kill anyone.
You were about to comment on that?
Yeah, but I'm not going to get involved with that shit. You know, there's so many people. I already see social media as a fucking lunatic place for people that have nothing else to do.
It's an outlet. Depends on how you
Yeah, but look at all the comments, especially the videos and the posts that get a lot of, like, people go on there and they start attacking each other. They start attacking each other's races.
Oh,
they start
crazy, man.
Like, there's always, like, I mean, literally, now they put, like, these little posts that say, well, I'm just here to read the comments with, like, Obama eating popcorn and all that stuff. I need to not look at that because first of all, I waste my freaking time. And second of all, I'm just like, what the hell? People need some shit to do. Like, they got to go in there and, like, talk smack about people. So I wasn't going to become one of those people, you know?
Oh, of course. I hope not, Mother.
So we were talking about, why were we talking about this? Oh, so we were talking about the TVs. and how crazy it was, you know, insanity, complete insanity, and how pretty much chaos is really brought up into our eyes right now. It really is. Now it seems like the world is just messed up and that there's no solution. And
wait,
go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
All right, so instead of, like, we've talked about this, the fear mongering and everything,
mm-hmm.
but, like, there's so much great things happening. There's,
oh,
and did you know that, like, in one of the islands in Galapagos, and one of the tortoises that was going extinct, like, there was only, like, 10 or 13 left, and now there's, like, 1,000 or something, and we're, like, repopulating the tortoises, and now they're not going extinct, and I'm sure there's so much other great stuff that's happening, but... Hey, let's not look at that. Let's look at the negative stuff. Let's get drawn into the stuff that's going to scare us, make us feel with fear.
There's a million great things. I mean, you woke up, you were breathing, the flowers blossomed, you know, the plants were growing a little bit bigger than they usually do. No, there's a, I mean, all those things. Even that movie, Interstellar, just freaked the hell out of me because I was like, there's a space out there, you know, there's people that are, that's insanity, and our intelligence level is so high. There's so much positive. What I'm saying is that the media doesn't report that.
Yeah. That's
and that, to me, it's detrimental to your health to only look at the news, because then you're only going to be looking at the negative things, and you're not going to, and you're not even going to be able to see all the amazing things that are happening around you. So with chaos rising, you know, people want answers. You know, why is this happening? And, you know, I when they were talking about the people that in the U.S. who are becoming terrorists or creating these terrorists, whatever, you know, I could see why that's happening, too, because people are unhappy. Imagine you being in this world. You're disconnected from God. You're disconnected from source, from the universe. There is not somebody that you feel that loves you out there, right? And that happens a lot right now. And imagine that you want as your outlet just revenge. You'd rather go die and be known as somebody who murdered people, who, like the Boston Marathon, people that are that, and that they're that disconnected from who they truly are, that it doesn't matter to them, they take people's lives. But the thing is that we're not doing anything to help each other. We're not, this is what our talk show or our show today is about, cooperation. What are we doing to help each other? And I think there's a lot of scientific facts that can actually explain what is happening right now. And if we just stopped learning the old stuff that science has taught us, and we put in the new theories, and it does have to do with mysticism to me, then maybe we would have new solutions. My favorite quote from Einstein is, we cannot find solutions to the problems that we created with the same mindset that we had when we created them. You know, I don't know if that's the exact words, but it goes something like that. But I mean, that's how I see it. Looking through different angles, understanding that, you know, competition and tearing down of your brother and, you know, instead of working with each other, it's not going to work anymore because it hasn't worked. You know, Greg Braden does, and you and I saw him live, we've talked about him, and I came upon his discussion or his presentation.
Lecture,
thank you. Lecture again just this week. And it's so meaningful because he was talking about it in 2011. Everything that he has backs up with facts. You know, what he's saying is the way our Earth is positioned to the distance of the sun literally changes the way climate control, it changes the way we act as humans. These are cycles. So I look at it as like the real estate industry. The real estate industry has had balloons and it has exploded and things have gone down and crashes and all of that, but it's all been cyclical. Women, they have their periods, right? Every single month, it's cyclical. There's a cycle. Nature has a cycle.
Cycle of photosynthesis.
There's fall, spring, summer. There's all of that, right?
Seasons, yeah.
This whole earth, our reality is a cycle, but yet, instead of us looking at what our ancestors did, you know, 5,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago, during these same times, instead, we try to come up with new solutions without even studying the cycle. That's what's really killing us. And what I love about what Greg Braden said is that once science realizes that we are cyclical and not linear, then we can come up with the real solutions. And that there's a great, like, opening for us to really start working and cooperating with each other so that in the end, once we do pass this cycle where the Earth is not stationed exactly where it is now, then we'll be able to come into what they call the golden age, which we've talked about before. And you have to listen to the whole Greg Braden thing. It's 2 hours long. I cannot give you all the scientific data.
He was talking about, like, the climate change, right?
Yes, and he said that we don't cause it.
There's also, yeah.
Humans don't cause it. We
definitely contributed. We're not. Also, there's also this awesome guy on the Joe Rogan podcast that was talking about the same thing. Mm-hmm. His name is Randall Carson. He's a scholar and just geological explorer. And that's his description. Anyways, he was talking about the same thing, how he looked into the ice in Antarctica and stuff. Then he could tell, like, the certain cycles and how it was originally just like it goes through its ice ages, and it just all happens over and over again. But we definitely do contribute to it. It's gonna happen inevitably.
Yeah.
But we're making that come a little bit more faster.
Well, we contribute to it, but also remember he pulled out. They have these museums with ice. Like ice ice pieces, where they've actually been able to measure the amount of carbohydrate in the air. Carbon monoxide. Sorry, it wasn't even carbohydrate.
See, we are not scientists.
I am not. You know what? I was looking at those potatoes we ate earlier too, and I was like, damn, carbohydrates. I shouldn't be having those. We're not scientists. I'm just trying to explain it to you like he said it. But, okay, so you're able to measure the amount of carbon monoxide in the air. And so what that means is that back in like 5,000 years ago, the same amount of carbon monoxide existed, because now they're able to measure on these ice layers, existed as it does now. And so these are things that are inevitable. Like you said, yes, we do contribute. We definitely have to clean up our act, like he said. But there's all the other factors that are uncontrollable. And that goes back to, again, the uncontrollable, the mystery, the beauty of what God or the universe could actually be. You know, we have no control. There's so many things that happen to us in our life that we don't have control. And I think that the number one problem that is really hurting humanity right now is that we don't know who we are. We see ourselves as bodies that came into this world. We're stuck with our jobs. We're stuck with our families. You know, we're stuck with unhappiness. You don't understand that you are freaking a walking God, that you were born for a huge reason, and that the more and more that you try to discover your own inner peace, you can actually share that with others, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the deepest thing. And even Greg Braden alluded to that. He said if we could really just understand who we are, if we understood our true powers, then guess what? This world would be completely different. But there's hope. I really do think it will evolve into that.
Definitely. I definitely see that coming. I believe in... what was it?
You don't believe in anything then?
No, I forgot the word or something.
The Golden Age?
Golden Age. Never mind. Just go on.
Yeah, well, I think that it starts with each and every one of us inside our own home, inside of our own... you know, it was so cool to hear Damien today come in and talk to us about how he spoke to a first grader about how, because every morning if he wakes up in a bad mood, I tell him, and like I tell you every single morning, you know, you're literally, if you're in a bad mood right now, you're literally polluting the world. You literally are like a cancer, because I see the way we are, we're an organism, right? And we're part of that organism. So whatever we're feeling, and we can control our feelings. Yeah, sometimes you can't, and then you have to forgive yourself for being human. And that's what's cool about it, because of Course in Miracles, that's what I learned this week, that our only purpose in this world is forgiveness. Forgiveness for ourselves, forgiveness for others. If we really walked around this whole world day after day after day, forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving, we would have no anger to hold on to. We'd have no evil. And that's what we would put out into this world.
But the main thing that you have to forgive is yourself, because once you forgive yourself, you forgive everything else, correct?
Yes, because you are a reflection of whatever is happening outside of you. If you go and get into a fight, even if you think you're the calmest person in the world, if you go and somebody fights you, there's something going on inside of your energy that attracted that, right? I had a crazy incident that came to me. You know, there was a woman that needed my help. She had been hit and almost choked. This happened this week. By her husband, she looked like she was not all there, you know, and she needed to use my phone, And I didn't know what to do, you know. I was like, why is she coming to me, God? Like, why is she here, you know? And I saw her energy, and I saw what she was going through, and the victim mentality of thinking she deserved it because she was not a good enough wife to her husband. But at the same time, she was also very just, like, unhappy and just saying, excusing herself as well, saying, well, he doesn't give me enough attention, so that's why I do the things that I do. And he found this. I don't know why I got so involved into it, but I just got drawn in because that morning I had said, A Course in Miracles, I had said, you know, where would you have me go, God? What would you have me doing? What would you have me saying? But I know she came to teach me a very big lesson. And that lesson to me was, I saw myself in her. I saw myself in her drama. I saw myself in her pain. And then when I took her with me in the car, she wanted me to drive her to her work because she was not safe here and she didn't have a phone. I gave her the sandals, some sandals that I had. And I said, you know, get in the car. And it felt to me like I was just like driving this really broken soul, like this spirit that needed so much love and comprehension, you know, and that the world was shutting out from her because she could not find the whole love inside of her. And it was just such she even knocked out because she was probably so hungover or something that was going on. She didn't look like healthy, you know. But
I think that was so crazy because you said how she went to two other houses trying to find anything and no one would open the door. She comes to this house. I think it was like for you to help you. It was for both of you, obviously, but like it was a lesson for both of you. It was just insane how she appeared.
I cried so much because I just thought, you know what, this is, you know, every day we try to make a meaningful statement in our life. What is my purpose? What do I do? What, you know, and every day you could turn around at the grocery store, you could turn around down the street of your school, your kid's school, you could turn around anywhere you're at and you could see people that are in need and that are not, that literally just need a friend to talk to, you know, that literally just need somebody who can listen to them. And, you know, I feel like those events, you don't plan them. And I feel like there's a higher source, God, universe, whatever you want to call Holy Spirit, that brings these things to you. And that's what A Course in Miracles taught me this week, too. It was about accepting everything as a life lesson. It was crazy because it was the day before that I had read that. So it was not like a lot of us, like, sit around and we want to be grateful for, oh, I have this house, I have this car, I have all this. But, you know, true gratitude, what I learned this week was being grateful for all of it. Like, being grateful for the fucked up moments, you know, the ones that you knew you thought you were not going to make it, the moments that you thought, is it, my life is completely changed and over with. And those moments when you learn to have that gratitude towards every single little thing that happens to your life, there is so much inner peace that really nothing outside of you can shake you. You know what I mean? And I think that comes with knowing who you truly are. And we have so many books and so many spiritual teachings and there's even non-spiritual teachings that teach us the truth of who we are. Over the years, we have forgotten, and that's where we're at, too. That's where humanity doesn't really know what the next step is because they haven't really realized how important they are.
But that's happening now. We're figuring all this stuff out now, right?
I do see that, and I am part of the hopeful, and I feel like, well, I guess it's you create whatever you are inside of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and around me, the people that I'm surrounded with, I only meet people that are actually awakening or that are just changing their lives dramatically, but maybe because that's what I'm going through, you know, like, I love what Ram Dass said in his book, Be Here Now, that the butterfly never, or the cocoon, or I'm sorry, the caterpillar never asks to go into the cocoon. It just happens magically, or not magically, why do you say magically? It just happens. It just happens, and when you're ready, you're ready. And that's kind of what I felt has happened to me since, like, last year. But I don't...
Are you sure about that?
I didn't ever ask for it, but I know that I've had some huge paradigm shifts in my life, and my life has completely changed, so I really do feel that way. Where the butterfly actually comes out or has the butterfly come out, I have no idea. I have no idea. But it's... I used to be a goal, and now it's more like...
See, that's what I'm at, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a goal.
That caterpillar doesn't wish or ask to be a butterfly, it just becomes a butterfly.
Exactly, and enlightenment is like that too. I mean, A Course in Miracles says that it's not something that you wake up one day and you're like, you know, you're seeing like, you know, all this stuff. And honestly, it's just a shift in perception. If you wake up one day and say, I'm enlightened and I don't have to go back to the old mindset and all that. That's why I love A Course in Miracles, because it's psychotherapy. And literally, you know what psychotherapy means? It's just it's just removes and erases the blocks to the truth.
That's
It doesn't have to say anything more. Then people may ask, especially the very analytical, well, what's the truth? And how do I know that they're telling me the truth? The truth is the truth. And when you know the truth, if you feel it in your heart, you know. When you pick up something and you read it, or you see something, if it resonates beyond your perceptual mind. It resonates beyond what you've been taught. You know it. It doesn't even... I can't even explain it to you. It's almost like when you...
So there's no one truth, just whatever you
believe in? I believe it's one truth. There
you
is...
think it's one?
Love. That's it.
But just, I mean, some people might not see that and think that's the truth, you know? Just, I don't know, some angry... I was going to use, like, Satanists, but some Satanists could be nice people. So I don't know what you could say. Some
people that are not happy with life.
Spitting out hate and, yeah. They don't see that as truth. They continue with that.
They don't see it as truth, but they will find out that that is the truth. Whether you do it in your consciousness or when you die, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. Because none of us know where exactly we go, right? After all this happens. That's what that movie freaked the hell out of me with all these dimensions. There's so many times where I've read about that, going to different dimensions and all that. I was like, shit, I don't want to go there anymore. And, you know, as much as I want to say I'm okay with death, even for my own death, because of all the stuff that I read, I should be. It should be completely, I mean, it's not, there is no death. I'm an eternal being that I will go on and do some other amazing shit, you know, when I either reincarnate or maybe I'm a soul. The only thing, a soul that's done this lifetime and then I'll truly awaken. I don't know. I think I am, because otherwise I wouldn't have had all these things in front of me. So now I just got to accept it. It doesn't make me better than anyone or it doesn't make me higher consciousness or anything like some people take that ego trip too. Like, oh, I read all this shit and now I'm this and that. It's not that. It's just that I chose to read this for a reason, or I chose to experience this for a reason. I don't know what that reason is, but I'm going to continue to follow it. And if you don't want to follow this reason, that's fine too, because the way you are is perfect too. You know, I love people that are sarcastic. I have a cousin who's super sarcastic. She's a hell of a good time. She probably, you know, my sisters, even my youngest sister, she's like, what the hell are you reading? What are you doing? You know, it's nobody has to agree with me. This is my own personal journey of what I'm going through. It doesn't make me better or different. But I'm just telling you that there is a way, because I've already been through it all. I've already been through being a young mother. I've already been through owning the businesses. I've already been through losing it all. I've already been through, you know, climbing back up out of the hole. I've already been there. And so when you've already been through it all, then there's a deeper want. There's a deeper desire. It's more than material. It's something beyond any of that. It's why am I here and what am I here to do and what am I here to give? Why was I really born?
I kind of feel like everyone has that question, though. Why am I here? Why has this life given to me?
Everybody does have that, but not everyone will discover it. And then...
That's the difference?
Yes, because then you're a soul that gets to come back again and tries to learn it again. That's how I see things, you know? I don't want to keep learning this thing. I really want to actualize in my lifetime, and I want to be able to just be free and to... Salvation equals freedom. That's the Course in Miracles says salvation equals freedom. And what is that? Freedom is literally just the undoing of the mind and understanding the truth of who you are. Because guess what? When you do die, you go back there. You go right back there. So if all of us understood that, you know, we all will die and leave this body, but, you know, live eternally. And if all of us knew exactly who the hell we were, and we would stop playing small, we would go after our dreams, we would fulfill our purpose, we would trust our instinct, we would know we're not alone, then we would start cooperating with each other, because there would be no competition, right? You would know who you are, I'm know who I am. You're not in my way, I'm not in your way. That's not the way it is now, right? All that stuff has not worked for many, many years. Time to change it, because that's where we're at.
And we're moving through that. And it's not going to be like a clear, easy drive. It's going to be kind of rugged. We're going to... we're gonna be. It's gonna be. I heard this. I think from Ramdas. It's like people are gonna get like that rope burn where you're gonna be holding on the rope and it's gonna be dragging through and it's gonna be burning your hands because you're not letting go and you're not gonna be ready to transform into the new. You just have to let go and we all do obviously and it's gonna be tough. I feel like we're doing that right now. We're moving away from that fundamentalism point of view. You know, because the fundamentalist Muslims, the fundamentalist Christians, they're all getting really extremely angry right now. And that's where it feels like it's peaking. But we're going to see this last wave of anger from all these fundamentalists or racists or bigots or whatever you want to call them. And we're going to transition into a new beautiful word, a renaissance. That's what I was thinking of earlier.
Oh, renaissance.
In my opinion. And it's gonna be crazy. It's definitely gonna have its ups and downs. But hey, it's gonna lead to somewhere beautiful.
Well, I think almost the internet really contributed to that because to me it's almost like
I think it's the number one reason the internet.
Yeah, that technology that we were so scared of. You know, people were like, oh, technology is gonna kill us. You know, technology to me is a supplement to the power that we have as humanity, right? But because we have the technology, especially now being connected throughout the world. It's bringing all these things to the surface and to the light, right? The bad things are coming to the light, and we're like, what the hell? What the hell is going on? And, you know, the darkness is no longer, you know, staying down here where nobody can see it, and it's just like, oh, politics, you know, no one's going to know. Literally, you are coming into the light. I mean, there's a quote that says that the true test of your integrity is who you are behind closed doors, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what's happening now. Even if you try to have this presence, let's say you have this presence on social media, the truth will come out of who you really are. So, you know, now I try to measure myself as to, like, damn, would I be doing that in front of other people? I'm not perfect by any means because I still yell. I still fight. You know, I still want to divorce my husband sometimes. And that's what happens after 22 years, I guess, or 20 years that we've been together and 17 married. But those are the things that you know, I love Duncan Trussell, what he said, you know, he went to this retreat and it was an amazing retreat. And they were like, well, how long did it last? You know, you come back in a euphoria. You're like, you're pretty much high naturally for like weeks and weeks to go. And they're like, well, what happened? You know, like, does it stick with you forever? And he's like, well, this last time that I went, it was an amazing retreat, and it lasted about 2 weeks, and then me and my friends started drinking tequila, and I told them, get the fuck out of my house, like, you know? So that's the thing I think you have to do. You have to just excuse yourself for being a human, and you have to give yourself a lot more credit for just trying, you know? Even if you just wake up in the morning and stop talking shit so much to your husband or your kids or your wife, that's enough. That's enough. If you want to take it to the next level, read something good. Read something positive. Doesn't have to be religion or whatever you want to do. And then if you want to do something really nice, then just go do something else that's nice. You know, buy someone Starbucks on the drive-thru and they'll never know that it was you. But those are the kind of things that we need to be doing. Just be more conscious of what's happening every day because the chaos is here, guys. It's all around us because that's what the media wants to tell you. There's a lot of positive things that are also happening in this world, and that's where my light workers come in. I think that's where when you were giving this, you know, like Divergent, everybody was kind of given their little roles to do. All of us were born for a reason. We were here to do something. If you're gonna be a baker, be the best damn baker. If you're gonna be a receptionist, be the damn best receptionist. If you're gonna be a leader, be the damn best leader in PTA and government. But go do it. And do it consciously. Because if we start doing it consciously, we start cooperating with each other, guess what's going to happen? Only peace. And no longer can we deny that we are all connected together and that we are energies and that love is something that science cannot even explain. And that truly we have not felt true love until we know who we truly are. That's the truth of it. So I'm excited to find out what true love really means because I really thought your dad had already given it to me. I was like, hell yeah, this guy.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm definitely ready for the realms of unconditional love.
Realms of unconditional love. But all of us thought that way. I think just research stuff. Read. don't overdo it either, because you could get into this more, what do they call those people that are fanatism? In Spanish, they're fanatismo.
Fanatics?
Like fanatics.
I don't know if that's the word.
Well, in Spanish, it's fanatismo. When you kind of get so obsessed with a religion or something like that, like, don't let love be your religion, you know?
Just be moderated. Don't be too much on one side.
And be open. Because even today, when I had you listen to Graver, and you're like, oh, I don't want to listen to him. When
no,
you had already listened to him
it.
In live,
I
too.
Like, that wasn't it. That
was
it. What's happening. I don't know.
I think that was it.
I love Greg. I know he's smart.
This
man.
Has been an awesome week. I have not. And today, honestly, I faced so many fears of mine today. I faced at least three. And these are fears that I have not faced in the last probably like 7 years. And,
damn.
And they sit in the back of my mind like this mother.
And doesn't it feel so much better that you finally faced them?
It was so annoying facing them. Like, I was like, oh, God.
But
somebody give me wine.
But the after feeling.
The after feeling, you know what I felt?
What?
I need to go to the gym.
Oh.
I need to just de-stress. This is something that and that was great that I said that, because then when I went to the gym, I was able to run for like a straight mile when I never do that.
So you didn't feel relieved after you faced
I did, but I still felt all this energy clogged up, and I was like, oh, my God. Now I have to let go of what I used to be, because those fears are now gone. And let me tell you guys that once you face your fears, I swear to you, they're not even that bad. It's like so easy, you know, but we love it.
I don't know if it's easy.
God, it is so easy once you get it done and over with.
Depends on the fear. Kind of
we're addicted to that fear. We want something. We're addicted to the drama. We're addicted to self-sabotage. We want one thing in our lives to not be going well so that we could worry on it. And can you believe a life where you don't have to do that? I can. I was like, that's what the Course in Miracles is telling me, that you're not supposed to worry, that you're supposed to be stress-free, that everything happens for a reason, and that you should just take action when you're ready to take action based on what you're being told to do and based on what your feelings are. And when that happened, I finally did it, and I was like, God, it was amazing. I just think a lot of people see the surface of people, and they're like, oh, that one, like if they look at Obama or they look at our celebrities, oh, they never get nervous, they never have fear. Guess what? All of us have fear because we're humans, and that's the contrast. That's the what we need in order to evolve and to grow. And if you're not evolving and growing, then you're dying. So I thank you, my fears, but I have dissolved you finally. Thank the Lord. And I can finally relax and just, I don't even know what I'm going to do now that I have nothing to worry about. Damn it. I guess I'll just be happy.
I got to face in mind. It's all good. Come on. I'll be.
You better not be.
When I got the chance, I'll do it.
You better not become one of my fears, or I'll kick your ass, dude.
I hope I won't be one of your fears.
Yeah, you and. How was prom? You didn't even tell everyone.
Relax, okay? I'm not going
to. You look so handsome. I told him he needs to be like a model immediately.
Stop it.
He's the cutest
stop
little person
please.
In the world. And
oh,
he doesn't even know how amazing.
No need
he
to be looking.
He's got this new little haircut.
Stop, please.
He is the most handsome man in the world, and I love him. And I thank you every day, because for me, Thursdays are therapeutic Thursdays. I thank you for my psychotherapy session, being able to talk myself out. I really appreciate you. I love everything that you are.
I appreciate you, Mother. Thank you for
it's been a great day. You know what has been. We've got some major breakthroughs happening in our family today, and you know it.
Love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom. I love you. Love you so much. Love my little Damien. Love my little husband. Love my amazing family. And you know what? I love this world. God bless you all. Please, please don't let anyone tell you differently. You are so loved. If you think no one loves you, we love you. We love you so much. Thank you for being part of this world. You can make a difference every single day. Be conscious.
And let's cooperate.
Cooperation is the key. Have a fabulous night.
Good night.
Good night.